You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 9, Episode 10 of the show coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We're going to be joined by Pats midfielder Jamie Lennon on the pod tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. I mentioned that we're sponsored by Quinn AV based in Athlone. Of course, Athlone, one of the big stories of the week. Dario Costello, their head coach, has left the club. So we'll be talking about that when we get to the First Division part of the show. And of course, it's a busy kind of week or so coming up in the League of Ireland because we've got games on Good Friday. We've got games on Easter Monday in both divisions. And before we even get talking about those games, we've got to look back at what happened over the last week or so. So before we hear from Gary, just going to run you through the results very quickly from Friday night, and then we'll delve a bit deeper into these games with Gary. But Shells beat Bowes in the live game on Friday 1-0. It wasn't a classic, but Shells getting an important 3 points there to put more pressure on Alan Reynolds. Derry won, draw to 3, Drogheda still top of the table. That was a big story there. Galway won the Connacht Derby in Sligo by 2-1. Shamrock Rovers were winners again in Tallaght against Waterford, whose poor run continues. Pats, they beat Cork City on Friday by 2-0. And then last night, Cork were beaten in Tallaght by 4-1. So just before we bring Gary in, we're going to run through some of the Friday night reaction across our social media channel. So we asked for your reactions on Friday, and this is some of the answers that we got. Aidan, Shell's first win in Tolka against Bowes in 2 years. They will take that however they got it. Bowes maybe slightly edged the jittery first half, but just didn't turn up in the second. Meepo's impact from once he came on made a big difference. Duff 1-0. Gav Kerr McEnroy, masterclass at Tolka. Meepo gets his first goal. I think, Gary, you've been impressed with McEnroy, haven't you?
Oh, am I able to come in now?
I'll come in, sir.
Yeah, look.
On a weekend, it was all about McElroy, huh?
Honest to God, what great TV that was.
Unreal.
And sport, yeah. And everything. I know,
especially for golf.
I know the Masters is different. Like, you know,
yeah,
Masters,
I know it is. I always watch the Masters. Yeah,
it's different gravy. But that was absolutely sensational. Jesus, I'll tell you, he put you in an early grave, that fella.
Yeah. Did you think he'd blown it as well when he missed the putt from 4 or 5 foot?
I don't know, Rose was on fire, but yeah. I think even Rory's drive on the playoff, I thought was
class,
but also like, okay, I think he has it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked to have been inside Rory's brain, you know, after missing that putt and gathering yourself up and getting into the, you know, buggy to go back down to the tee box, but look, he did exactly what he needed to do. It would have been unbelievable to be able to come back from that if he lost it again.
Yeah,
I think that would have been difficult. But congratulations to Rory, great for everybody.
So
great for the country.
Nothing on Kerr McEnroe there, but loads on Rory McIlroy. So thanks, Gary. Your first contribution was fantastic. Yep. Eddie, another toothless away performance from Treaty tonight. Have they reached their ceiling under the current management? We might get to that when we get to the First Division review later. Hot Drop says Reynolds out. Matty El Rapp's project Athlone has failed. Again, we'll be talking Athlone later in the show. Declan Crosby, a great result in Derry considering how bad we were until the red card, but one has to ask how good that Derry team is when it contains Hayden Can. That's very harsh. We have a Huey, Dougie and Thomas to come back. We were 4-1 with the bookies, which is crazy given our form. I did point out, I think the bookies are really underestimating and under-respecting Drogheda this season. Daniel, routine win in Tallaght, another big one to come this time on Monday. Aaron Dunn, Pat's doing it easy. Leo McLaughlin, get rid of Lynch. Oh, early alarm bells in the Brandywell, Gary. David Meyer, result of the night was up in Derry. Our draw at a real title contenders. We'll get to that in a while. Julian Canny, look at Athlone teams on paper. How are they bottom? Dennis, injuries are going to make me do something very bad in Turner's Cross. I'll not read that out in full. Owen, mentality from Bray was fantastic. Very tough test tonight, especially after conceding an equaliser again, but after going 2-1 up through Ferrazai, we saw it comfortably through and probably more threatening. Billy O'Neill is some talent. He terrorised Treaty. Al says, probably about as expected. Derry in decline, great result for Kerry. Jack, Cork City's failure to prepare a squad with enough numbers could end up with them in real trouble in staying up. Darren, 3-1 flatter draw. They showed no real threat until the red card. The goals themselves were good finishes, but the defending from us was so poor. And someone else says, Dundalk, don't look back. So that was some of the listeners' reaction to what happened in the League of Ireland over Friday. But Gary, we're going to start delving into the matches. And Shells 1, Bowes 0 was the live game on Virgin. This was a disappointing spectacle TV-wise, but a very, very important win for Shells. And again, I think a lot to be concerned about with the Bowes performance here. I thought they were very, very passive throughout the game.
Yeah. Look, I think that's their whole problem. Like, even you saw with conceding two, being 2-0 up at home against Sligo the previous week. And then to make a hames of that. You know, I know they won it, but, you know, as you mentioned actually last week, the shine was put on it in the last seconds of the game. The media made very heavy lifting of Bowes, of Sligo, excuse me. And I think they're just...
Oh, you're right, Bowes.
But there isn't really much to say. Like, they're a bad team, doing bad things on the pitch. As you mentioned, though, I think the not a great spectacle for the TV game. Yeah. Unfortunately, we talked about that at the start of the season. Like, you know, but there's a game a week. Like, there's going to be you know, shite in the middle of it as the season goes on. But important win. Good to see Meepo get his goal. But yeah, important stuff for...
Yeah, he took a bit of flack from Roddy pre-match.
He did, yeah. But, you know, Roddy does a lot of blathering. He's right sometimes. But I think, like, you know, he hasn't started. The game comes on and makes a difference in the end. And that's all that matters, you know. I'm sure Duffer was going on about how it was important that the subs make a contribution and all that stuff, and they did it again here. So good win for Shells, which would have been a tricky one. As I think was mentioned, that it was the first time in a couple of seasons that Shelburne beat Bowes in Tolka Park. So I think it was at a couple of them in my time, but in that time, and like, it was they were never unbelievable games or anything like that. So Shelburne squeezed by Bowes in this one. But no real surprises with the result. Like,
no.
I think, you know, oh yeah, you know, going away to the champions, losing 1-0 isn't too bad. But, you know, it's,
yeah, the excuses are wearing thin, aren't they?
Excuses are wearing very thin. Yeah.
Derry City 1, Drogheda 3. Drogheda remain top of the table. The red card was obviously a huge turning point in the game. I've said on recent pods that I've been very disappointed so far with Liam Boyce's impact or lack of it since he arrived at Derry, but yeah, he gets his goal, and then just a few minutes later he gets sent off. And I know one of the banter pages had it up. They had it like a screen grab of the timeline of the game. It was like Boyce scores, Boyce sent off, and then two goals in the space of a few minutes from Keighley, and they were like League of Ireland heritage. Derry had a few players sent off this season already. Yeah, look, I know the red card's a turning point and everything, but like, this, no matter what way you cut it and dice it, this is a really bad result at home. Drogheda are having a fantastic season, but when they did go down to 10 men, they offered little to nothing after that.
Yeah, and it was so stupid from Boyce. Like,
incredibly.
Yeah, like, he deserves a good, solid kicking for doing something stupid like that. They're having a poor season. He's having a poor season. And then to make a stupid decision like that, you know, you'd expect him to have a bit of cop on. But to get a stupid yellow card like that is just terrible. And as you said, changes the course of the game. You know, Derry have to kind of rejig themselves, and but draw out of the way they're playing, the way they're being so productive in front of goal, taking their chance. You can't let them in at all, if you know what I mean. You can't give them any excuse, and Boyce gives them a big excuse on Friday.
That's their third red card of the season already.
Yeah, you know, like often we've been critical, we'll say, like a Boyce, not Boyce, Boyd. you know, getting yellow cards.
Yeah.
Like, you know, heaps of yellow cards all the time. Keeping him, like, taking himself out of the game, as well as, like, on top of injuries you have to contend with. Like, so, you know, you can't be without your players because they're doing stupid stuff like that. As you said, within minutes of getting the opening goal of the game, he's off. And
he didn't need to do it. I know we've said already how
it's in the middle of the bloody pitch, like
middle of the pitch, players around him, lads going nowhere. He's going out towards the corner flag. I cannot understand it, like, for such an experienced player.
Yeah. And that's why he deserves a good hammering. But you know, I'm not sure if that, like, it does change the game, but, like, does it cost Derry a point? Probably not. You know, it was their own silliness and you know, lack of everything. Like, if you actually look back at the highlights, I think Boyce runs past midfield players to go and make that challenge.
Yeah.
He had to make that decision, you know, a week ago to do something like that, as stupid as that. It's just bizarre stuff. And you're at home trying to, you know, play in a team that's doing so well in the early part of the season, top of the table, that you're 1-0 up, you're after scoring, don't do something stupid. And then within, 5 minutes of that, the Drogheda have pulled the goal back through Keely. Nice little finish. Bad defending.
Two great finishes from Keely. Second one especially.
Second one, absolutely. But the defending is just dog shit. Like, so many people standing. I think even if you look back at it, there's nearly a fella backing a Derry defender, like, on Maher's toes. Like, he's right in front of him. Like, he can't even see what's going on. It's just sixes and sevens all of the time with Derry. It's absolutely cat. And I don't know, you know, I know you read a contribution there, you know, Lynch out. Well, he deserves to be under pressure.
Already? You
know, Yeah. He's been backed.
Mm.
He's, you know, he got rid of some of the, we'll say, you know, scrap within the, like a McElhenney or whatever, you know, that just wasn't reliable. And brought in some of his own players as well, like a Boyce, like that other lad, the defender from Dundee, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And he's brought in other players as well. Like, something has to give. And you actually made a good point about it there. The first round of games done.
Mm.
What are you doing? Like, there's no more bedding in time. There's no more rooting at it. There's no nothing. It's time to go and do it. And I don't see that happening with Derry at all.
Yeah, like, if you imagine that, let's just say Rory Higgins had remained on after last season and he had this.
There would be serious
bloodshed up there. They're only 7 points off the top still. It's not irreversible damage that's been caused, but 3 wins from 9, 4 losses already.
Yeah, that's just ass life. You know, that's not good enough. They've already lost 2 games at home.
-4 goal difference.
Yeah, that's just dog shit.
Yeah, they need to turn it around quickly.
Yeah, big time.
As for Drogheda, look, we better give them their credit because what an incredible start. I know we're saying it every week, but there's just something different about them this season. I know Kevin has spoke about how big of a lift they've got from going full time. That, like, everyone's coming in and they're all buzzing to be in the building and all able to focus on, you know, the training and the recovery and everything. Yeah, so it's had a massive impact already. But yeah, this amazing start continues. I suppose, look, we'll go straight to the elephant in the room because there was a contribution there from one of our listeners. We spoke recently, I suppose, about Galway that we thought, could they potentially be title contenders? We haven't asked the question once about Drogheda. Could they win the title? Could they push for the title?
Very few teams are taking any points off this Drogheda side. You know, they've drawn 3, they've lost 1 against Rovers. You know, and even you look at, say, that most recent draw, was that was the one down Turner's Cross.
Yeah.
And, like, Jeannie Mac, they should have been 3 or 4 nil up before Cork even knew what day of the week it was. But then they follow that up with a comfortable win against Waterford. They go out to Derry away, beat them there. They've already beaten Shelburne in Talca Park.
Yeah.
They've done a job on everybody bar Rovers. So why can't they maintain this?
And I think everyone's expecting a drop-off. And I think
deep,
that's
kind of deep down, I am a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone is. You're probably just because of the stature of the club. But at the same time, they've got some of their best players to come back as well.
Absolutely. They have a few ringers to come in. And actually, just on that, well, why would they come back in?
Oh, yeah, they won't at the minute, but I'm just saying, like, that's a reason to argue against the drop-off. That they've actually got players that will be coming back that are going to have to work to get back in that team, and that should pick, you know, I know
spur everybody on.
Yes, it's not this simple in football, but that should spur everyone on in training, on the pitch, to give an extra 2% again.
And why can't they maintain it? Like, I think we said a few weeks ago when Galway were, you know, further up the table. I know they're in fourth now. They're only a couple of points off top. But we were talking about, like, Europe is a good place to be aiming for.
Yeah.
Why not Drogheda as well? Yeah. I know they have Europe this year. That's my only concern. Like, I know you actually made a fair point. Like, look, if they get blown away early on, it won't actually be that big of a deal.
Mm.
You know, it won't get in the way. But if they win a league or two, or a tie or two, excuse me, next year you're getting into, you know, heaps of games, and next year you're in Timbuktu going to a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll be something to consider, and they'll have to be playing a few games on a Sunday. That'll mess up their process with training and recovery and all of that. And that's where, like, the tiredness gets into you.
Mm.
So, you know, obviously speaking from my years of playing in Europe, but, you know, I think that would be a different element that'll have to be managed by Kevin and Dara. But why can't they finish in a European spot this season at the very least?
Yeah, very good. Right, moving on. The Connacht Derby. Sorry, Sligo Rovers 1, Galway United 2. Two Kian goals Byrne from Kian Byrne, particularly his free kick was a cracking goal.
Yeah.
And it actually escaped my attention until a listener of the pod got on to me during the weekend just to ask me a couple of questions about Kian Byrne. Kian Byrne has been played in midfield by John Caulfield. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen Caulfield do this with players, I suppose. We think of A. Durbin when he went to Galway. He's played out on the right wing. And I actually thought some of Durbin's best football came when he moved out to that position. So
yeah.
Caulfield just has this ability to see something in a player and say, I think I can use him in a position that no one else has used him in before and get big performances out of them. And he's doing that with Kian Byrne now.
Okay. I wouldn't necessarily agree that, like, he's like seeing this that no one else can see. You know, he's put a player into midfield against a shockingly weak Sligo team. You know, he didn't, you know, put the keeper up front and the keeper gets a hat-trick. Do you know what I mean? Like, or who was that? Neil Warnock's wife. Do you remember that? Dreamt that some lad score a hat-trick.
No.
A right back.
Right. And he chucked him in the team.
Put him up front and he scored a hat-trick.
You'd wonder if that's just one of these stories for the podcast, you know?
Absolutely. But I hear a lie, tell a lie. But, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, I say, it's not.
By the way, this isn't, he wasn't just chucked in for this Sligo game. He's been playing in that hole and roll for the last couple of matches now.
Yeah, no, I know that. But we're talking about it now because he scored two goals.
Mm.
Like, no one was talking about it a couple of weeks ago when, you know, the beat whoever 1-0 or whatever. You know, no one was talking about it then. I'm just saying, like, it's not, I don't know who Alex Ferguson job here. Kian Byrne is a very good player. We've seen him a lot. Saw him a good bit with Longford Town a couple of seasons ago. He's played with Bowes a good bit. It was surprising to see that he was.
I was just going to say, like, it really begs the question, what is going on within the football department of Bowes? Because even when we heard before it happened that Kian Byrne was going to be going out on loan. And we were like,
oh, we heard it back in chat. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, he seemed
to be doing well.
Good run into that, yeah.
Yeah, fans seemed to like him up in Daly Mount. Even, like, I remember when he went back from Longford that time to Bowes, he ended up playing in the cup final last season. He was chucked in 20 years of age, 21 years of age. And he was very solid in that cup final. And, like, that was a great learning curve for him. And I would have expected to see a lot more of him in the Bowes team. Suddenly he's out on loan at Galway. And now he's putting in massive performances for them. What on earth is going on there?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Like, I haven't seen too much of the boy that came in to replace him from Palace. It was Sean Crehan. I haven't heard too much of him, but, like, Bowes are conceding goals all the time, so, like, can't imagine it's too good news from there. But I suppose, like, talking about the positive, he's taken this opportunity. He's still playing. Like, he's been put out on loan to a team that has lost one game all season.
Yeah.
And he's obviously contributing to that since he's come into the side. It's getting his two goals there the other night. Like, it's probably the best bit of crack he's had playing football and since he was playing with the town.
Yeah.
So I'd say he's happy enough where he is. Would ask the question though, as you said though, how is that decision being made? How do we go? Ooh, who do we send out on? Cian Byrne, yeah, the lad that's played a lot of games for us and hasn't done too badly in a team at dirt. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah, just on the game itself, Galway, they only won 2-1 in the end. It probably should have been a lot more comfortable. They really dominated the game. It was a goal from Elding that got
and it was a Stonewall penalty. I know there was a bit.
Was
of,
it? Yeah. Do you think?
Yeah, no question about it. Like, if you look back, you see him colliding with his leg and he tries to pull it away, but...
All right, fair enough. But look, it took a penalty to get Sligo Rovers back in the game. Galway, I thought, were very, very comfortable for good value for the win.
Yeah, absolutely. Hickey contributing again. He doesn't get a goal, but he gets an assist as well. And see, was it John Mahan? He did with the nuts at the end of the game. Put it onto the highlights as well. Nice bit of stuff, but... great. Another good win away from home for Galway.
Shamrock Rovers, they are absolutely flying. I think it's 4 wins in their last 5 now. They're up to joint second with Pats after the win against Waterford on Friday. They won that 2-0 and then they dismantled Cork City 4-1 last night. Could have been an awful lot more than 4, but they are really motoring now, are the Hoops.
Yeah, they are. They're got over their early season grief. I'd say, if you think about these games, like, both of them are... Obviously, the Cork game was comfortable enough, but they seem to have got motoring a bit earlier. I know the last few seasons, it took them a while, but, like, they seem to have, you know, ratcheted it up and started putting teams to the side. Another good win. I would say, a player that I was very... surprised with was obviously Danny Grant going there and was it considering the less than stellar impact he had when he went back to Bowes, but like I remember hearing about this this interest from Pats like you know ages ago like last year whenever I was like or not Pats excuse me Shamrock Rovers and I was like what Danny
yeah.
can't be talking about him but he's actually you know I think he's played most of the games if not all of them, he's contributed in Europe already, as we saw in the early part of the season. The team is still, for some reason, I'd still like to, I'd still be veering on the side that the team is unfinished. Do you know what I mean? But they seem to be getting tunes out of players that you mightn't have thought you'd be getting anything out of. So, really good weekend for Shamrock Rovers, there's no doubt about it. There was a few chances missed, though, by Shamrock Rovers as well. I think they left a few goals on the table over the weekend.
Especially in the Cork game, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the keeper had an unbelievable game for Cork. Truth.
Oh, he did. He was all over the... Yeah, no, all over the place in a good way for a keeper, I mean. That doesn't seem to be... no issue for Shamrock Rovers. They're getting the job done and getting the goals that they need to win.
Just on Waterford again, I've made this point for weeks now and we'll be talking about Waterford a bit more towards the end of the show because I think we've got some Waterford questions in the hotline.
But, I hope, yeah, I'd glad to hear it, yeah.
I keep saying, you know, I don't think they're playing that badly. I don't think they played that badly again on Friday in Tallaght, and I know I was reading Paul Jammond had a column in one of the local papers down there and he was speaking about an incident in the game where he said the officials apologised after the referee booked the wrong player.
Right.
I think he booked Healy that should have been booked and he booked Cleary or somebody else and then Healy made another foul after and it would have been a second yellow.
Okay.
But they booked the wrong player. But now look, whether he goes and makes that second tackle when he's on a yellow, you know, there's no way to know whether it had an impact on the game. But
yeah,
I just think obviously defensively that they are leaking too many goals, but they're missing chances at the same time too. I still believe it will come good for them. We'll talk more about it later because there are questions in the hotline.
Just as well, because this is their fifth loss in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, Nick Good, yeah.
St. Pat's had the 2-0 win on Friday against Cork City. It took two wonder goals, though, for Pat's to win this. Chris Forrester, unbelievable strike. Brandon Kavanagh, yet another great strike as well. We're going to hear from Jamie Lennon very, very shortly. Good to see him back in the team. And no surprise that they're starting to rack up more clean sheets that now he's back in front of that back four as well.
100%. I don't like this game wasn't a our result wasn't a surprise, I don't think. I think we all had Pats to win this game. Mm. As you said, it took a bit of rooting to get there, and it took a couple of really great goals, it has to be said. And Cork did create some of their own chances, but it's getting to be a bit of an ocky momo for Cork, isn't it?
Yeah, well, again, we'll probably come back to Cork in a second because we've got a good bit of, there's been a good bit of Cork City content on our socials.
Okay.
So a bit of that to read out as well. But I suppose just from a Pats perspective, it's probably still a feeling that they're not fully motoring just yet. But the individual class here of Forrester and Kavanagh got them through this one. And it sets them up now for a couple of massive games coming up. They've got Drogheda on the Monday, isn't it? And Rovers on the Friday, yeah. So
in Richmond, yeah.
Two massive games coming up. So what I think we'll do now, we'll go and hear from Jamie Lennon. He's going to talk about his return to fitness and those two big games coming up, among other things. And then after this, we will delve into what's happening at Cork City a little bit more.
Well, Jamie, how are you?
Good, Kieran, how are you?
Not too bad. Couple of full 90 minutes recently after your injury absence. Do you feel like you're getting back to full fitness now?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't out for too long, like, so it doesn't take that much to build it back up, but you do lose fitness as quick as you build it. So it was just getting minutes in. The first 90 minutes against Shells last week was probably one of the toughest games to come into for your first 90 while being injured, but I feel good now. Yeah, I feel strong and hopefully can continue getting fitter and fitter.
Yeah, I suppose you only missed the five games, but just in the early part of the season, it's not ideal for a player. But I think we spoke before about the strong pre-season that Pat's had, you know, going abroad and everything. Do you think that stood to you, being able to get back up to full speed quicker, perhaps?
Yeah, probably. We did have a good pre-season, to be fair. Even results-wise, picking up wins, which is a good habit to have in pre-season. But fitness-wise, I think we're all in a real good place. It's really just unlucky where we've ended up with the injuries. And that's football. Like, it does happen, I suppose. And it's just you have to deal with them things. And thankfully, my injury wasn't as bad as I first thought it would be. So once we got the news that it was only four to 6 weeks, I think we're all kind of delighted with that. So I'm kind of lucky in that regard.
In your four appearances this season, the team has kept three clean sheets. They only kept two in the five games you missed. Does that underlie the importance of your role in the St. Pat's team?
Maybe has a small part to do with it, but in general, I think we've been defensively quite good so far this season. Maybe bar the Sligo game where it went to 3-3, like, so. Possibly. I'm probably the most defensive-minded player that we have who plays in midfield out of squad. So naturally, my first instinct is to be more defensive. But in general, we've got players who can do both, and it's a team effort when we're getting clean sheets. It's not, we don't look at it like it's just about the back four or the midfield two or whatever. It's defending comes from the front, so it's part of our strikers or our wingers. The pressure they put on other teams and that, so all that comes into it. It's not down to one specific thing. It's a team effort in trying to get clean sheets.
Yeah, you said it yourself there that you're probably the most defensively minded midfielder that's in the team. You often hear commentators and the like use the cliche about centre half, so that guy, he just loves defending. He loves that side of the game. Would you say that that's a part of the game that you actually really enjoy?
I suppose me reading at a game and kind of understanding the game has come on in the last few years. And as you get older and more mature, the more experience you have, you kind of start to see situations, you see the game a little bit differently. But yeah, I suppose it's always been, even growing up as defending, as even though I played in midfield, I was always kind of more of a defensive minded midfielder. And my job is always to try and get the more creative players on the ball. So, and I'm happy to do that. And I suppose I've done well so far, creating a kind of career out of it. So, it's a part of the game I enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah. currently second to Drogheda in the table. Are you surprised by their start?
Yeah, but I think looking at the end of last season, they were probably one of the best teams in the league towards the end of last season. Finished on a high in the cup, and I think that can give any team confidence then going into the next season that anything's possible. So surprised, but not surprised as well. They've got a good squad. They probably go under the radar of how good their players are. I've obviously played with a couple of them, and they're top players. They can play in most teams in the league. So they're a really tough side, and they're organised, and at the moment they're riding the crest of a wave, and fair play to them.
Yeah, and I know you played them after you played Shamrock Rovers on Friday. Darren Markey obviously got player of the month across the league recently, former Pats man as well. He'll be a proper handful for you when you're sitting in that defensive midfield position.
Yeah, and I've played with Daz for a few years here as well, so I've known him quite well, played against him a lot. Daz, top player. Really difficult to mark, good off the ball as well, but at the same time, you've got to kind of relish these kind of challenges. They're the players you want to play against. They're obviously flying at the moment, and you know, we want to try and claw them back in somehow. So it's going to be a good game, but all focus for us is on Friday first. It's going to be a really busy period coming up, to be fair. We've got a lot of games, so it's really hard for me to like think past one, because we've got so many coming up. So all focus is on Rovers first, and then come the weekend we'll look after Drogheda.
Rovers absolutely flying as well. Another win for them last night, so they're level on points for yourselves. So two massive games coming up, and an exciting part of the season.
Yeah, it is. The first round of games is done, so now it's all focus into what I think is probably the busiest period of the whole season, is from now up until the mid-season break. You've so many games, so little time to really prepare for certain games when you've got three in a week and things like that. So it's important that like the whole squad is you know, focused in the one direction. Lads who haven't been playing maybe are ready to come on physically and mentally, preparing themselves that they're going to have to play, because we're going to need the whole squad now for the next 6-7 weeks. It's going to be really tough, but it's a chance to put points on the board as well, so we're really looking forward to that.
And just lastly, if I go back to kind of this time last year, obviously as a group you had a difficult start to the season, and I think maybe your own form personally, it mightn't have been as high as we've seen in the past. Aside from obviously the change in manager, what do you think is the difference for you personally from this time, this moment in time, to this time last year? Because you've shown a very consistent level of form, even after being out injured, you've come back very quickly. So what do you feel is different from this time last year?
It's hard to say. It is a difficult question, but I think the obvious thing is like the squad's in such a much better place now in terms of the quality we've got throughout the squad. Like every player in the team is only as good as the players they play around them. So like, if you're playing in a really good team who's got really talented players who like to work hard for each other, then you're naturally going to kind of come up to that level. Do you know what I mean? So like, it's just kind of been more of a squad effort, in terms of obviously the gaffer's come in and built a squad that he wants, and it's a strong squad. Even though we've injuries now, we've got players who can step in and do a job there, and I think naturally the level of training's gone up, so then lads are improving quicker, lads are getting better, lads are getting fitter. So I just think it's based off the players that we have around each other, and when form's good, then momentum is a big thing in football. You know, when momentum's good, exactly. Yeah, so it's difficult. Like when we're in a rut last year, it's difficult to get out of that. It really, really is. But that's why you want to get off to a good start, and we've got off to a decent start this year. So hopefully, we can keep that up.
Good answer to a hard question, Jamie. Thanks so much. Best of luck for the next few games.
Man, thanks, Karen.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, so thanks to Jamie Lennon for joining us on this week's podcast. Let's go into Cork City chat for a few minutes, Gary, because it's been a bruising start to the season for them, particularly with the injuries to Seanie Maguire to Rory Keaton. Now, I think the news on Greg Bulger is positive. He could be back for Friday's game, which would be very, very welcome indeed. But after the defeat last night against Rovers, where, let's be honest, they were absolutely opened up by Shamrock Rovers, it could have been an awful lot more than 4-1. I put out a tweet on our socials with just a picture of the league table. Obviously, Cork just 3 points above the bottom side, Sligo. Cork City fans, aside from an injury healer, what do you need to avoid potential relegation this season? This got a lot of traction. Let's just see what some of the replies were. The Rebel Cork, a new owner, please. Owen Kelly says, a new owner, please. DUFC Ian, who's obviously a Drogheda fan as opposed to a Cork fan, he says, are many of their players heading back to their parent clubs in the summer? That could take the notion out of them altogether. Hard to attract quality loan players if you're bottom of the league. That's a very good point. People think they need to get loanees in ASAP or otherwise a trip to Lourdes. Another shout here, Anthony, a new owner. Rob says that Bows need to keep Rennie in situ. Tim Clancy Ball 56 says the Cork need a prime Messi if they're to stay up. Donna, this is going to be the picture all season. If we, Sligo Rovers, can stop conceding stupid goals, we'll start winning games. Russell alluded to personnel changes after last weekend, so we'll see two big players coming back for us. Magpie, ushered to spend and get players in. The budget was blown on two front men. Look, as we said, we thought the two front men could keep them up maybe alone, but without them, it's worrying. Jack Kelleher, more squad depth, more experience, and an owner who prioritises on-pitch success rather than off-pitch success. Although some would argue you can't do one without the other. Donica thinks that they need Jesus Christ himself if they're going to stay up.
Our Lord and Saviour.
Yeah, Steo says they are useless. They are gone already. And someone else says, pray that the potential relegation playoff opponents get rated for their best players in the summer. So a lot of negativity there. Couple of comments about the owner. Maybe we can delve into that. But I suppose just Tim Clancy's comments as well added to the whole Cork City discussion mill over the last few days. He came out after the games over the last few days and he's criticised some of his squad for being too quiet on the pitch. And he said if they're not willing to change, that he will make changes himself in terms of getting players in the summer. So a lot going on at Cork. It doesn't seem the happiest of camps.
No, it doesn't. It's interesting that he came out and said those things.
Would you be in favour of him coming out that strongly, or is he playing with fire there a little bit? The sort of thing that can...
No, like... The players can see themselves. The table doesn't lie to you. You know, they've won win all season. The only thing preventing them from being any worse is Sligo. It's hard to see, or it's hard to disagree with them. But one thing I always think about in cases like that, he's obviously said 40 times worse to them. You know, inside the dressing room, inside the training room or whatever. And it doesn't seem to be resonating. So he's obviously gone a step further and said it publicly. You would have to be concerned like with some of the stuff. Like even if you look at the Forrester's goal there on Friday, apart from it really being really nice play from Pats, Forrester gets to take the ball down at the edge of the box, chests it down, and then boots it into the back of the net. Like it's a nice bit of play. He chips it in, runs forward, takes a touch. It's kind of nicked off him. It's passed back to him, and the defending is just kind of static. There's lots of lads standing around, hands on the knees, looking at the ground, walking around the place. It doesn't seem like a very... Obviously, you've just conceded you're not going to be taking that great, but like the defending is so poor. There's a couple of opportunities for them to do something there. It's a lot of standing around, players really standing off their men. You can't give Chris Forrester that opportunity. Like he will put it into the back of the net, and he did it again there. And I suppose if I'm Tim Clancy looking at that, you're like, you know, you have your whiteboard with the little markings on it, and you're like, see him, number 8, Chris Forrester, you have to get on him. You know, like that's bread and butter. You can't give him any opportunity. And then to do the same just before half time, Was it Kavanagh that got the goal from distance? You know, standing off again, not engaging, giving him that, you know, space to have a strike like that. Unless your keeper's going to bail you out all the time, you're going to concede goals. And to, in the space of what, 5-6 minutes after, at the end of the first half, you're 2-0 down. And very, very long road back. And I can see why, you know, Tim Clancy is pissed. And that's just on Friday. Like if you look at, as you said a couple of times already, like that could have been a cricket score there on Monday night. In,
yeah, really good.
Yeah. Money, so like, people. Yeah, exactly. He had a great game. So I'm struggling to know what they're thinking of. Like, you know, the keeper, as you said, had a wonderful game. There was a couple of goal line clearances. There was a couple of bits. And I know you're going to Shamrock Rovers in Tala on a refix game. You played on Friday. You got a hammer in there as well. It's not an easy place to go, but you have to have some bit of fight or bite or something in you to do it. And I think probably that's the other thing that's frustrating. Like whatever about, you know, communication or leading on the pitch, like it's just the lack of fight or something like that. Like you look at the goal there, the opening goal. How easy was that? Like for Shamrock Rovers, like just a ball in round the back, job done, in on top, you know, tapped in. I don't really know. Like there's a lot of interesting points made. Like I would say even that one about like lone players that are going to be gone maybe in the summer. Who are you going to replace them with? Lots of talk about Usher as well, though, which is...
I just wanted to say that because my concern, I suppose, as an outsider looking in right now, I know this is a stupid phrase we use a lot on the pod, but vibes, right? I'm looking at Cork, and aside from the on-the-pitch stuff in terms of the team struggling, the injuries they have, their lead position, that just doesn't seem to be... There seems to be an awful lot going on around that as well. I know there's been a bit of discontent about the ticket prices and... Okay, people happily pay their 25 quid in when the team's going well, but when the team's not going well, our attendance is going to drop off. There just seems to be a lot of negative, and people talking about the owner then, a lot of negative energy around the players, and it kind of reminds me of Cork City teams of the past that ended up getting relegated, and I'd just be worried about that.
Yeah, certainly. Like 25 euros is big money for a League of Ireland home game. You know, and that's just like, and as you said, like when the team is going bad, like, you know, oh, and I paid 25 euro for that. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, another thing.
Like, you know, life's hard enough then. So I don't really know what do you do here? Like we looked at last year, you know, we were saying that like Cork were doing well, doing the Keating deal. While they were sitting in the first division, getting that squad together, kind of like what John Caulfield did with Galway, a couple of years ago. You know, they had like a good chunk of that squad in the first division. Added to that while they were winning the first division, and they've added to it since, obviously. So you know, there's good ideas, I suppose, here, but it's really not coming off on the pitch, like, and. You'd have to be concerned about, like, what's it, obviously players that are injured. I think Keating is gone for the rest of the season. Didn't he get the...
Six to 9 months, yeah, as good as, I suppose, yeah.
Well, six to 9 months, what's he going to do? He'd have to score 100 goals in October, like, to get...
He's gone for the season, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's just bad news. And I know it's good to get Greg Bulger back, but, like... As I said last week, you know...
You're going to get 30 games out of him between now and the end of the season, probably
Very, very unlikely. And, you know, if you have a couple of games Friday and Monday, like, how hard is that going to be? Yeah. So, like, there's a number of, like, pieces here that have to be considered. You can't be really hanging your hat on players like that. So, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. I think the point about replacing lone players with other lone players is going to be troublesome. I would not be that concerned with, you know, getting in loan players, even because Cork are at the, towards the bottom end of the table. But I think it's, I think it's going to be a very, very long season for them.
If I was going to push you now on bottom between Cork. Cork and Sligo, you'd have Cork, would you?
I would, yeah. I think the one thing that's keeping me away from Sligo at the moment is they have a lot of players to come back in. And I think John Russell...
I think they're a bit like Waterford at the minute. I suppose Waterford will soon enter the conversation if they don't start picking up a few things.
Yeah, they will, yeah.
You look at Sligo and you can see hints of promise, especially in attack. Defensively, they're a bit like Waterford. They give away goals too soft, and you're always worried about Sligo just because the squad is so thin. But I think John Russell's probably earned enough brownie points now over the last few years to, you know, believe he will pull it out of the fire at some stage this season with them. And if they can just be within touching distance come the window, and beef up that squad a little bit, then I think they might be okay. But
it'll be interesting though.
Cork just seems a bit more ropey with everything going on at the minute.
Yeah, but they'll probably be competing for very similar players, the two of them. You know, like someone mentioned there, get the players in that are doing well.
Maybe they'll get all the boys back that went to Cove.
Mightn't be a bad idea. But like who, like they will be shopping in the same market, and that'll be a problem. They'll be near. I'd say they'll be competing for the same player in certain
even cases. UK loanees and the like. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Look, that was the Premier Division review. Let's move on to what happened in the First Division before we go to the on-field action. The big story, of course, was Dario Castello leaving Athlone Town. What was your reaction to that, Gary?
Big story, but not a surprising one, was it?
No, probably long overdue. I think, to be honest.
Yeah, they're. They're doing very badly.
3-0 defeat against Kerry on Friday. And I want to talk about this game a little bit because I watched it back a bit of it.
Yeah.
I want to highlight the second goal that Kerry scored in particular. So Colin Morahim is up for an attack. And he actually nearly scores from a header. But the move eventually breaks down. And Athlone kind of half win the ball back and then give it away again. But like a good bit happens between Cole heading the ball and Kerry scoring down the other end. And I'm looking to see, right, where is this lad sprinting back into position? No sign of him. I don't see anyone dropping into his position to cover him. And then Kerry get the ball up to the other half of the pitch, and Joe Adams gets on it and turns his man. And suddenly they're at the Athlone defence, which is all over the place because their centre-back's up the pitch and no one's dropped in to cover him. And then I'm watching Bastian Heary, and he is not even walking. He is trotting along. And you were trying to tell me at the start of the season this fellow was an insurmountable loss to Longford Town.
I didn't say insurmountable.
Look at his work rate there off the ball. It is an absolute disgrace. Several players in that Athlone squad clearly phoning it in, and he is one of them.
Yeah, that's very true. I didn't say he was an insurmountable loss. I said he was a loss, and I think some of his attack and stuff is very good.
He can
for Longford. I haven't seen him half enough for Longford Town, so I'm not going to even comment on it.
Work rate was never fantastic at Longford either. Got away with a lot because of his quality. I'd be happy to let him play for Athlone.
You
got to call a spade here. It was an absolute disgrace, that second goal. I'm not just singling him out personally, but that was just one thing that really caught my eye. I seen him like coming into shot, and like he's probably playing as a deep lying midfield player because, you know, he hasn't got the legs to get up and down the pitch. So he's kind of sitting there and he's watching this unfold, and he's just jogging. He's not even jogging. He's walking. It's a disgrace. And I talked about this before with Athlone. Been such a poorly drilled outfit. This is why it's no surprise that Dario is gone. Who I have to say, I spoke to him a few times. Lovely man. And everyone I've spoken to at loan, all the great things to say about him as a man. But whatever's happened there this season, and there's other sides to the argument too about other people being involved and how much autonomy he had and all the rest. At the same time, that team is so poorly coached. You can see it with the goals they're giving away. We've spoken about it before, the structures there. It's non-existent, and it's no surprise that they're bottom of the table. But look at the quality of players they have; they're massively underperforming. So it's no surprise that he's gone.
No, absolutely. I think though, for anybody that doesn't watch First Division highlights, go watch that from about 2 minutes on, or 1:45 of that goal. As you said, like you're 100% right. The header goes in, and like even from when the keeper gets the ball, he throws it out. And if you look, as the player crosses the halfway line, it's 5-on-4 from Kerry to their advantage. There was a ball kind of kicks up, and I think former Town player Kyle O'Connor gets the ball. He tries to burst up the field, loses the ball stupidly.
That's another defender off the pitch, because the centre-back hasn't tracked back. O'Connor loses the ball. So two of your defenders are gone, and no one's dropping in to cover them players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shocking.
Now Cole actually ends up, he does get back for the goal, and he ends up actually, if you look back at it, he deflects the ball into a Kerry player who is able to square it for the goal. But if, as you said, there's so many you see it back, there's so many players not impacting the play, not covering a man.
Team
of individuals, absolutely. Team of lads not keeping each other accountable. A group of people that are just going through the motions, it'd appear. Like, very little impact on Kerry as they went to score that second goal. And like, you know, you're 2-0 down in Kerry, it's not going to get any handier for you. Do you know what I mean? And like, by the time the ball goes into the back end, like, Kyle O'Connor has barely made his way back into the box to try and impact the game, even though it was him that lost the ball.
And he's got the legs to do it.
Yeah, get back in there. It's inexcusable that he's not back in there, in fact.
Yeah.
And just really not good enough. So, look, I think it's not surprising that Dario is gone. He was probably a lot of cooks in that kitchen.
Yeah, he's probably been chucked under the bus a wee bit here, I'd say. But
to be honest, I think something had to give, someone had to go. And fair play to Kerry, a great 3-0 win. At home to Athlone.
Yeah,
and Athlone are shite.
They were absolutely shocking. But look, from what I hear, there could be some big changes coming there. From what I understand, they've spoken to some very high profile candidates about that managerial job. But we will wait and see. Just on Kerry, Joe Adams, I've been very impressed with him. I know I've been harping on about him a bit on the pod. He's done very well since he's gone down there. Ryan Kelleher scores his first goal back since injury. So lots of positives for Kerry there. That was the big story there, was Dario Costello leaving Athlone. Elsewhere, Bray continued their fantastic start to the season. They play Longford next, but they were 2-1 winners against Treaty on Friday night.
Yeah, when is this Bray... train going to stop, like, for a team that we've been calling limited since week one, they've won 6 games already this season. a bit of humble pie, bit of egg on face job. They've been really good. Treaty have been disappointing.
They've become a bit unreliable in recent weeks, a little bit hot and cold, but a lot going on off the pitch there too, of course.
Yeah, there's a lot going on the pitch, but like, you know, some of the stuff that's on the pitch, like, you're not thinking about some shite off the pitch, like when you're not doing your job at the back. It's just interesting to see how well Bray have been playing. Like, they've been obviously digging out some great results throughout the season.
What a goal from Killian Cantwell, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just surprised that, like, even, you know, if you look back at the highlights of this, some of the play that they've been doing, like in the lead up to the first goal, they've been working it across the pitch. Some really nice crossfield balls. It's all going to the man. It's all, you know, connecting, and the ball has been moved on again. It's not like it takes. Every second touch is a tackle type job. Do you know what I mean? Like, some of the stuff was really crisp, fast, just some nice play. Some of the long through balls all hitting their target. Bray fully deserving of it. Another really good win here for them. With Treaty, I don't know. Like, I don't really know what people are looking for. They're bang on mid-table.
Yeah, so again, I think there was a comment there, wasn't there, in the Friday reaction section, that has the management team achieved as much as they can at?
But what are you, like, with what? It's like, look at the team. What is the expectation of this squad?
And again, like, I don't know how much, if any, impact there's been on the team in terms of all this drama, constant drama off the pitch. But like Tommy Barrett, he's probably never had a, you know, plain sailing in any job he's had. Like Limerick was a complete basket case. And
Tommy Barrett has never had a minute of peaks.
Never. Say. Yeah.
Like you nearly wonder what's he signing up for year on year.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like
what I often wonder. Yeah.
I don't really know. It's kind of like what exactly is the expectation from the fans of the squad? I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, the squad is a squad. They're going to win games. They're going to lose games. Are they expecting to be challenging Dundalk? Like, Bray are going very well this season. That was their fourth win in a row. I think the only game before that they lost was that hammering against Harps, which is an anomaly, it would appear to be. So, like...
And to be fair, Harps have been in good form since then, so...
Yeah, exactly. But it definitely gave Bray the boot in the hole that they needed. But I don't understand what treaty you're looking for. I really like, are the fans at least?
I agree.
Like, they still bet the shite out we carried the week before. I don't know. I just don't know.
Speaking of Harps, they picked up another good result, I think it has to be said. A 2-2 draw against Wexford.
Yeah, kind of surprised by this. I was expecting possibly like Wexford to do a bit more of a job here. Is it kind of gone a bit wobbly for Wexford a bit in the last few weeks?
Just your average first division team in terms of been very inconsistent. Like again, a lot of young players in the team there. I just think you're going to get results like this from time to time.
Like I know like Harps have been doing well of late. Like they obviously dug out that draw against the Town and but Wexford, I know, like to be fair, they did a job on Longford, they did a job on Cove.
But again, like even the Longford game, yeah, they were the better side and it was 3-1, but the third goal didn't go in until like nearly the last kick. Like it was a scrappy and tight enough game. I've said it before, like I think you take the Dundalk out of the equation, it would be one of the most intriguing title races anywhere if Dundalk were in this league, because I think there's little to nothing separating pretty much every team in the league this season.
Yeah, it's a bit of nip and tuck. There's a couple of I know you've mentioned, let's say Harnett for Wexford.
Yeah.
Individual nice bits of play. If you know what I mean. Like, let's say a lad does something really good. Let's say even. Yeah. I'm just trying to see, like, when you say something like that, it's like, oh, 9 teams aren't that different.
the table would rubbish my argument, because Bray are second on 18 and Athlone's bottom on 7, so there's 11 points between them. But from a lot of the games I've watched, I don't think there's much between the teams. Like, if Athlone and Bray played tomorrow, despite all of Athlone's shenanigans this season, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they went out and bet Bray because of the quality of players they've got in their squad.
Completely.
I think that every team can nearly beat every team in the division, probably barred and Dundalk.
Oh, 100%. I think we talked before about will Dundalk go the season unbeaten, and I was like, obviously, like, I really don't think so. Like, a team will get the run on them, and one day, you know, they'll have a bad day at the office or whatever you want to call it, and that'll be that. But like, I know it's hard to see the. There are a lot, obviously, lots of differences in the teams, but you know, for example, like Finn Harps have had a really good run in the last few games. There's only a point ahead of Longford, who have lost their last two as well. So, like, it's all very bunched up there, you know, at the moment. But you're still right. I think teams can take points off each other, so it's not overly surprising that Harps have picked up a good away result here.
Yeah, like they've still only won 2 of 8 games. You know, they're not superstars, but
no, there's no doubt about that. But I could say, let's say, for example, if Wexford get Dobbs back fully fit, I know he's back, but like he's fully fit, he's starting games, gets a good run, scores a couple of goals. You know, that'll be a big change or a big improvement or a big win for Wexford. So, as I was trying to say there, there's a couple of players across the teams that. yes, the teams by and large are very similar. It'll be probably down to a bit of individual brilliance in games.
Fully agree with that. Dundalk 1, Cove 0. I managed to get out to the second half of this. It wasn't a great game at all, but again, Dundalk deserved it. Now, the difference in the end, again, was Sean Keogh. This lad is a serious, serious talent. He goes on a great run down the left, puts a cross in, takes a deflection off a Cove defender, and it goes in. But this is my first time seeing Cove in the flesh, because I didn't get to get down to Coleman's when they played Longford. But I was very, very disappointed with them. Big, big physical side. They don't look your average first division side in terms of their physicality. Like, they look, they're a big physical team.
Yeah.
And they proved hard to break down, and they were hard working. But I don't want to use the word again, Gary, but Jesus, they looked extremely limited on the night. I know they're away.
We have to ban that word.
I know we do. And I know they're away to Dundalk, but like, they created little to nothing on the night.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the team that us and probably everybody else picked out to be major challengers. Mm. Yeah, they're fourth and they're only a couple of points off. Bray in second, sorry. But they've lost their last three games on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, they were unbeaten in the first six. They lost against
them. Just say they were. Kian Murphy wasn't in the squad the other day, so I'm assuming he's injured. He's got 4 goals in 8. So kind of when I was watching them, I was looking and saying, Jesus, who's the centre forward here? Who's actually going to score goals? So that was a big loss for them. So that didn't help the limited look. But I mean, if you're relying on one player, you're not going to win titles or get promoted. So
you win nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
You win nothing. So I was very, very disappointed with what I seen from Cove. Dundalk again, just grinding it out. Very reminiscent of the Cork team, I suppose, from last year. We spoke about Kerry and Athlone. That just leaves us with Longford and UCD. UCD running out 1-0 winners for their first win of the season. Again, this was a disappointing game of football in the end. UCD, I think they enjoyed the playing surface as we thought they might. They kept the ball well. They moved it well. But it took a set piece for them to break down Longford. Great free kick in from being headed home by Mikey Raggett for his first goal of the season. Very poor marking from a Longford perspective. But this was a disappointing performance from Longford, particularly compared to recent home games where there was so much excitement and a bit of fire and get up and go on the team. They looked very flat on Saturday, and you just wonder if the 3 games in 9 days maybe caught up with them a little bit, because they made very few changes. They just don't have the squad depth, Longford, to be making wholesale changes week to week and trying to get that bit of familiarity with each other, with all the new players coming in. Wayne Grove's keeping the same team largely throughout the 3 matches, and they just looked a little bit leggy, didn't they?
Yeah. There seemed to be a bit, there was a lack of real bite about the Longford performance on Saturday, which is concerning, because I thought, like, UCD haven't had a great start to the season.
No.
They can be got at. They will give up chances. A couple of players that I thought were sensational. Not sensational. There was nothing sensational about this. But I thought Eric Yarrow was very good for Longford Town. He was kind of the only player that really tried to take the game to UCD. He was receiving the ball and turning.
Yeah.
Driving forward. He pinged it off the post from about 30 yards away. There was something about his performance. I thought Harry Halwax did quite well.
Yeah.
He had a couple of really good saves. But after that, from a Longford perspective, there was very little.
Yeah. Just to add some balance from a UCD perspective, Sean Brennan was in the midfield. Kieran Behan had a very good game. There was lots of kind of nice, tidy performances from...
Yeah, Adam Verdon, I thought, was actually all right.
Yeah.
You know, just did... kept the ball moving, kept it going, like doing that kind of unexciting position relatively well.
I pointed out on commentary, you wouldn't think of UCD being, you know, a real battling team. You think of their nice football and all the rest, but like, they won every single header the other night, particularly the boy McCarthy at the back.
Crazy.
They won every single aerial duel.
Yeah. I don't know if Longford Town were handicapped before the game. Like, you know, they got what do they call it in horse racing?
Handicap.
Yeah. But, like, you know, they put the metal weights. Yeah, weight, sorry. What are they called? There's a word for them, isn't there?
Like a lead plate type thing. Like
yeah,
like
okay.
Lead weight, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like that was put into their boots. It was, I couldn't believe how few headers Longford Town won the other night. Maybe, you know, some statistician will tell me that all Longford Town actually won 40% of the headers. It was like they couldn't move or jump off the pitch at times.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
Just a flat performance all around, really.
Yeah, but where did that come from? That's the question.
Potentially 3 games in 9 days, 2 big away trips before that, Donegal and Wexford on difficult playing surfaces. Very few changes from game to game.
Point taken. But it was interesting that, let's say, the bite was gone. Like, there didn't seem to be as much bite in the town performance. I know there's tiredness and everything, as you said. But, like, let's say, while the result in Harps was disappointing, but up to the red card, Longford Town were very much up for that, and there didn't seem to be a bag of
it. It's a bad time for it too, because we spoke about before how, like, obviously results haven't been great over the last couple of years, but this season in particular, people have actually been excited to go out and watch them at home because the home games have been exciting and they see a bit of fire in the belly and a bit of get up and go on them. Whereas the other night, like, the atmosphere on the ground was so flat and people were very disappointed leaving, and I've seen a good few people given out about the performance online after and all the rest, which of course they're entitled to do, and they were right with a lot of their criticism. But you don't want to be putting in those sort of performances at home when results aren't great, because that's then how people really kind of lose the bit of attachment and you know, don't really want to.
Yeah, and I think, like, as we've said, like, the town games at home this season, I could say even the Athlone game, which is a 1-1 draw, that was very entertaining. That was really enjoyable. The Kerry game had absolutely everything.
Yeah.
3-2 win at home. Beautiful. Aaron Walsh getting his first goal for the club in 2.5 years or whatever long he's been there. And only, 16 games played, I think you said. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And then a good result at home against Treaty on top of that. So I think, the home performances, you can't let them slide. So hopefully that's a blip for Longford Town fans.
Yeah, so lots happening over the last week or so in the First Division, and more to come over the Easter period. We're going to look at the Good Friday games coming up. It's time for the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League. We spoke about the First Division there, Gary. Take Dundalk out of the equation, been quite a level division. Well, last week in the Predictions League, it was a very, very level affair. All three of us got 8 points. We're joined by Owen, the Bray fan. He got 8 points, you got 8 points, I get 8 points. So that leaves the league table as follows. I'm still bottom on 39. You're just 2 points up the road on 41. And the listeners out in front on 60. So we've got catching up to do over the Easter period. Someone we know very well is going to play this week for the listeners, Gary. And that's James Donnelly, Longford Town fan. So it's Athlone against Wexford where we start. Managerless Athlone taking on Wexford. James going for a 3-1 win to Wexford here.
Oh, I wouldn't be sure about that. Like, could this be the cure that Athlone needed?
No. I think we spoke about it. It's more than just one man, isn't it? Like,
trying to throw you off the scent here. I don't see 3-1 to Wexford. I think this is going to be a far tighter game. I do see Athlone scoring. I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford.
Okay, I'm going to follow James and go 3-1 to Wexford. I think there's a bit of disarray there in Athlone. Finn Harps against Kerry. Oh, the ineligible derby.
that just came to you there now. Yeah. I think Harps could do a job here.
Even after Kerry's great win last time?
Yeah, but I think that the pitch will be an obstacle for Kerry.
Oh, it's not exactly a carpet now down in Mount Hawk either.
No, it's not. But I think this will cause bigger problems than the Astra pitch in Mount Hawk. I think Harps could sneak this 1-0.
You're going 1-0 Harps.
1-0 Harps. Yeah, I think that decent result against Wexford away from home. They pulled it out of the fire against the town the week before. They're doing all right. I think this could be a great opportunity for them to get a W on the board.
Yeah, you know, I'll give it to Harps as well, just to shade it 2-1, and James going the same as well. Cove against UCD. Cove could really do with a win.
Big time. Absolutely big time. Were you overly impressed with UCD the other night?
We say this every week, though, that I wasn't that impressed with them, wasn't that impressed with them. But most of them are beating Longford still.
Yeah.
I was impressed with how they moved and kept the ball, but I'd expect that from a UCD team. Sean Brennan, as I said, really caught the eye. I think you pointed out Adam Verdon had a decent game. The fact Mikey Raggett got a goal could be huge, because I've been pointing out on commentary, you know, he got 7 goals last season, had a very, very good campaign, and very surprising he hadn't scored. And there's a few players in that team, like even McManus, I thought, had a very good game the other day, unlucky not to score. Ronan Finn wasn't in the squad. We're expecting this UCD team to click at some stage. I think they're more than capable of going down here and getting a result.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I am going exactly the same.
Yeah.
James going 2-2, so great minds think alike. Treaty against Dundalk, of course. Dundalk threw away a 2-0 lead against Treaty earlier in the season. The only points they have dropped. Can Treaty get more points against the Lilywhites here?
Is this a big test for Dundalk going down here?
I think it's a decent test given what happened in the first contest, yeah.
I'm not sure Treaty will win it, but...
I know you hate when I go on about the size of pitches, but it's a big enough old pitch down in the Markets Field. I think that'll suit Dundalk, particularly with the likes of Gax in form at the minute. To be honest, I don't think Darren Horgan's been having that big of an impact in the first division. I have to be brutally honest.
A bit anonymous, isn't he?
Yeah, again, you'd like to think he can pick the holes, even if, you know, they need to bring on a Keith Ward here, a big pitch like that, he should be able to find some gaps. I'd like to see a bit more from Dean Ebbe as well. I know he's chipping in with goals, and he will get more goals as the season goes on, and he's probably the most likely top goal scorer in the division, but just like to see him influencing games a little bit more. I don't think he's been as impressive as he was with Athlone last season up until this point. He probably had the hat-trick against Longford already in the bag this time last year for Athlone. But look, I think the full-backs as well for Dundalk will play a big part here. So I think Dundalk will win this. I'm going to go... Will I go with Dundalk to keep a clean sheet? I'm going to go 2-1 to Dundalk. Could be 2-0 though.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Dundalk, but I have a feeling that Treaty could do a job here. But
James doesn't. He's going 3-0 Dundalk.
Oh, yeah. I don't see that comprehensive of a win. I have a sneaking suspicion that Treaty will pull a draw out of this.
I just can't see it, to be honest. Right, Bray against Longford Town. The site of Longford Town's last away win about 9 months ago now.
Yeah, that was a good day.
That's really something they need to resolve and resolve quickly.
Away wins.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll do it here on Friday? You give me your shout here.
I think they'll get a draw, 1-1.
Insightful stuff, as usual.
No, but it's just... I think they'll be more lively than they were against UCD. I'm going to put that down to 3 games in 9 days. I'd say maybe a bit of work will go on the training ground now to pick them back up again. My concern with this Longford Town team is that they look a bit blunt in the final third. I don't see them scoring a lot of goals this season, but I think they might get one here. And they've been difficult to break down. They probably give Dundalk one of their tougher games, aside from the Treaty game. I think Dundalk probably... The game against Longford was one of their tougher games. So I think they've proven they can be well organised. They've shown a bit of fight. I mean, it was disappointing for them to drop points in Donegal, having the extra man and gone ahead. But they did have to put their backs to the wall and defend towards the end. They came out of town with a point there. They've shown that bit of fighting spirit this season. I think they can bring that. If they can bring that up to Bray, I think they have enough to get a result here. But I'd struggle to see them winning the game, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think you hit the nail on the head there. They can... dig it out when needed. So 1-1.
Our listeners will be surprised to not hear you going for a Longford Town win, but James is going to go with the colours there and go for a 2-1 win to Longford Town. Right, into the Premier Division, and we've got Waterford against Sligo Rovers. This is a huge game towards the bottom of the table.
This is massive. Probably not a great time for Sligo to play them. You know, Waterford with so many losses in a row, there's really only one result that is acceptable here, and that's putting Sligo to the sword. I think it'd be the type of game where Keith Long is starting, probably would be feeling a bit of pressure if he doesn't win this. Would you agree with that?
I think any manager, if you're down that end of the table and you lose 6 games in a row, then yeah, you're going to be feeling it.
Yeah, but particularly like this one, like it's because of who it is. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Waterford. I think they're just going to flush it all out. Let it go. And I think, you know, there was pressure in the last five games. Okay, shit, we lost last week. Oh, shit, we lost the last 2 weeks and so on. This is the one that, right, we've after this in five in a row. We're playing the league's bottom side at home. Nothing else will do. And I think that pressure will help them. 2-0 to Waterford.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Waterford win here as well. I'm going to go 2-1 in this one. I think I kind of predicted early on in the season that Sligo might be the sort of team that do all right at home but might struggle away from home. I'm just looking here, 4 matches away from home, lost 3, drawn 1. So I think I was right on that count. I know they haven't picked up a huge amount of points at home either, but I think that Waterford at home might just have the edge here. I'm going to go 2-1 to Waterford, and James going 3-1 to Waterford. So none of us give Sligo any hope there. This is an interesting one now, Gary. Galway against Derry City.
Wow. Eamon Deasy Park. I can't see Derry doing that in here. This, I said it a couple of times before, particularly we'll say looking at the Galway game. In Dalymount Park, where you look at the players that are going to just go hard at the softness of Bowes. I think there is a softness there in Derry. It was such a poor result last week. They'll be without Boyce, but how much of a loss would he be? He's only contributed very little so far this season. I'm going to go for 2-1 win to Galway.
Okay.
I can see Higgy scoring here as well.
I'm going to go 1-1 here. I think this is the sort of game Derry really can't afford to lose.
Who scores for Derry?
Ah, Michael Duffy free kick.
is anybody else going to do contribute to this operation at all? I'm really, really unimpressed with Derry, obviously, so far this season. But like they've scored 8 goals this season.
8. Yeah,
that's rubbish.
Yeah, not great. I'm going to still give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go 1-1. James going 2-2 as well. Bohemians against Cork City. This is another big game. you know, we're talking about Waterford being relegation candidates. They're on the same amount of points as Bowes have.
I wouldn't consider Waterford to be relegation candidates at the moment. Even though they're on the same number of points as Bowes with a very similar record, I think Bowes would be better candidates for being closer to the bottom come the end of the season. Absolutely monumental game for Bowes, though. It's kind of good that they had Sligo and Cork in such quick succession. You know, we've won 2 out of the last 3, blah, blah, blah. But also by the very same token, Cork will go, geez, we're in a bit of a tight spot here. We could really do it in a way of win against Bowes. And it's achievable as well.
I think all the pressure's on Bowes here. I know Cork are second bottom, but I think they're going away from home. I think there's far more pressure on Bowes here than there is Cork.
Yeah. Do you think?
I don't think Cork can keep it tight enough, to be honest. I know they were playing Shamrock Rovers the other night, and Rovers and Bowes are on different levels at the minute. But
who's going to score for Cork?
Yeah, that's a concern as well.
Do you know what I mean?
I think you're right. They got the job done against Sligo, albeit a lot of heavy lifting. They had that big win down in the RSC. I think they'll just scrape this. I don't think it'll be that convincing. It'll be a bit like that Sligo game. They might get a late goal to put a bit of a shine on it. I'm going to go 2-0 to Bowes here.
I'm going to go 3-2 to Bowes.
That'd be some game. And James is going 1-1. Pats against Rovers. This is a biggie.
Real, real, real big test here for Pats. I have a disappointing feeling that this is going to be 0-0.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm. Is this on the telly, is it?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I feel like it's going to be a kind of like a repeat of the Shells.
Oh, game. No, it's not on telly, is it? It's Drugs and Shells that's on telly. This isn't on telly.
Oh, good man.
Yeah.
They're going up to the United Park.
Yeah. God. Or have I got that wrong? Is it Drugs on telly on the Monday? Yeah, no, no, it is. It has to be Pat Shells on telly, isn't it? As we always say, do not rely on us for fixture or TV information.
We are only advisories.
Yeah. I look up the Virgin Media Twitter here while you're rambling.
I have a feeling that not losing is kind of is obviously quite important for everybody, but I just feel Pat's at the moment, home game. You know, when you look back on it, like we say, we had a good home point against Shells, another good point against Rovers. I feel it'll be a nil-nil here. I think this is going to be a stinker.
This is not the live TV game, so do you want to...
What is the live TV game?
Draw to Shelburne Friday.
Oh, good man, you had it right.
Yeah.
And what game is on Monday?
Monday is...
Longford at Lone and El Clasico.
Let me look at the fixtures and I'll know. We will read out the Easter Monday fixtures before we go as well. But Monday's Pats and Rovers. Oh, so that's Monday. No, sorry, that's Friday. No, hang on. Monday is, Dublin Derby, Rovers Bows. There we go.
Jesus Christ, lad.
Yeah. I would edit that, but we don't have enough money for a producer.
Okay.
There we go. Which is why we're there. Easter Monday, Rovers Bows, Cork Waterford. Oh, that's big. Drogheda the Pats, another big one. Chels Galway, Derry Sligo. Some good old fixtures there. And in the first division on the Easter Monday, Longford are away to Athlone, as Gary said, in the El Clasico. What other games have we got on the Easter Monday in the first division? Let's have a look. We have got Wexford against Treaty, Dundalk against Finn Harps, Kerry against Cove in a Munster derby, and Bray against UCD in a kind of half-ish Dublin derby.
It used to be called the 46A derby, but there you go, lovely. The 46A bus is gone. Doesn't exist anymore. I think it's the E2 or something. Okay, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Pats and Rovers.
Rovers, nil-nil.
Okay. Yeah, it's finding it hard to separate the two of them. 1-1. Mm. James going 2-1 Shamrock Rovers.
Ooh.
Mm.
That'd be a surprising result, but not.
I don't think so.
No, yeah.
And finally, then, the TV game on Friday, Drogheda against Shelburne. I think the bookies make Shell slight favourites away from home.
Why? Like, how many times are they getting burnt?
Yeah, they are, really.
Drogheda have beaten Shells already this season. Like,
away from home, yeah, and they're all home here. Mm. Yeah, it's probably priced slightly wrong. Drogheda can get something here, can they?
Of course they can, yes. What are you talking about, yo, can they? 100% they can. I think it's a very, very difficult game for Shells. Their record is spotty enough, to say the least, this season. 4 wins, 4 draws. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Drogheda.
I'm going to follow you.
Yeah, good man. Yeah,
why not? 1-0 Drogheda for James.
Good man, James.
Yeah, so no sign of the Drogheda steam train just slowing down yet, it would seem. Right, before we go, let's get stuck into the BTS hotline. Let's have a look at what we have got this week, starting with, as ever, Git. Table's starting to take shape now. Will it be as tight as last year? That's for you guys.
Last year we were talking about, like, 5 games left, 4 teams can win it. I don't think we're going to get the same level of pricking that we had last year, where no one wanted to win anything. You know, we had Shells lose, Derry also lose. Derry lose, Shells lose. No one really taking making a run on the other.
Mm.
I'm going to go for... I think it's going to be a two-horse race.
Patrols.
Yeah. Like what fighting it out with a bit of a gap.
Writing shells out of it.
They're not just motoring along, as I know they're only a couple of points behind, but
only one loss though.
Yeah, but there's something.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
I think they'll be there or thereabouts.
Second album is always the hardest.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there'll be a bit there'll be a bit of a gap. I think come the end of the season, I think it'll be nip and tuck with Pats and Rovers, with Shell's bringing up in third.
Okay, we will wait and see. Moving on, Sam, the standard of the league was a constant discussion point last season. I think it's risen. In previous years, there was an obvious weak link. Teams like Dundalk, UCD, Harps. This year, even Sligo and Cork are full of good players.
According to who?
I think we've been saying that Sligo, Waterford, they're actually not playing that badly, but they're just not getting the results, and injuries aren't helping, particularly at Sligo. Cork, injuries not helping there. Again, a team that's bottom of the league, have former Irish international Shaunie Maguire in the team. I would agree with that. I think the standard of the league is very, very good. I don't think this was a vintage week. And we come on here shouting and roaring every week, greatest league in the world. Can't be the greatest league in the world every week. I think some of the games weren't fantastic last week. Particularly, I watched the first half of Shell's Bows, and it was so bad, I decided, you know what, I'll go to Orion for the second half. And I was even more disappointed after that. So it just didn't look to be a vintage week of League of Ireland. But and then Longford UCD was poor as well. So the three games I watched last week weren't great, but it can't be the best league in the world.
And he commented on a Serie A ladies game as well.
Yeah, the last game I did in that was for the Zone was great. I did Sassuolo and Napoli, or not Napoli, Sassuolo and AC Milan, and it ended 3-2 to Milan, I think, if I remember rightly. It was a great game, and I was thinking, Jesus, I did LOI TV last night. Longford game was dire. Nothing can be as bad, and I got one of the worst games of football I've ever watched between Napoli and Sassuolo. Sassuolo winning 1-0. So, yeah, it was not a good week of football for me. Peeps Nation, Derry lost on Friday. Hard to explain. I think we already read that out in terms of the Friday reaction. But he does just say, ghosts of last year still about, it would seem, at Derry.
Yeah. I don't really know. It's nearly like seeped into their DNA or something like that. It's like this softness, and
I think it just goes to show how hard it is to win a title. I think everyone looked at Derry over the last few years and they've seen all these big players coming in and thought, oh yeah, they'll win a league, you know, somewhere along the line. It's just not that handy. League of Ireland Premier Division news on Twitter. We were talking previously about, I suppose, players that go across, and you know, it's not really happening for a lot of the League of Ireland players to go across the water, and that kind of feeds into the whole thing we'd be saying about, you know, there's no player in this league at the moment anywhere near international squad standard. They've just highlighted five players that went across recently that are struggling for minutes. Dara Power, he wasn't in the latest Cheltenham Town squad, a player I was very fond of when he was at Waterford. Neil Ferrugia, not in the latest Barnsley squad. Johnny Kenny, not in the latest Celtic squad. Will Patching, not in the latest Carlisle squad. They're having a really poor season as well, by the way. And Dara Burns, not in the latest Grimsby Town squad. Or he came on a 91st minute sub, so he got a little bit of game time. But yeah, that's disappointing reading, isn't it?
It's not great, but I think we're,
especially the likes of Patching there at Carlisle, like they are having an absolute stinker of a season. And like Celtic have won the league, or as good as, and what's his name? Kyogo's gone. He left. Went out on to some of the French clubs, didn't he? And like Kenny's not even getting on the bench.
Yeah, but it's not like this lad's very good. Like, you know, give him a go. Like, you know, I don't agree with that necessarily. You know, you may, on one hand, yes, some of the players are good, and we're probably a bit surprised, but like, I think like Neil Ferrugia, for example, is a good player. But the way some of the people are going on, get him into the Ireland squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bollocks. Absolute stone bollocks. There isn't one player in the League of Ireland that is good enough to play international level. And I know that's different level than, let's say, so League Two and some of this stuff about that we're talking about now. I don't know what league, like what league are Carlisle United in?
The bottom of League Two.
Bottom of League Two.
Yeah, down the bottom, yeah.
So they're almost finished in the Football League.
Yeah.
Where are Grimsby? And that's the last one I'll ask you.
Grimsby, are they non-league? My knowledge of the old English calendar is not as good as it was. Leagues, no, they're seventh in League Two.
Seventh in League Two. That's all right. Like, we need more Manish bashing on the... Remember your man that used to the Football League highlights?
Yeah, that was a very good show.
Yeah, it's still going, but it's not Manish anymore. Don't like it now.
Is it still going, no?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's on Match of the Day finishes. It starts about 11:30, quarter.
Are you sure? On BBC?
No, it's not. It's on ITV.
Oh, ITV. Right. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say.
Yeah, anyway. True, yeah. Is it that surprising? Like, the one thing I would be interested in is, like, we'll say, what's your boy's name that went to Grimsby from Rovers?
Dara Burns.
Yeah, sorry. Shamrock Rovers got quite far in European football. Like, the squad that they have isn't bad. The players that they have aren't bad. Is it... I can't believe I'm going to say this. Is that they're like too technical for League Two?
Yeah, there could be a lot of that.
You know?
Yeah.
But then what's the point in getting them? Like, I'd say, right, this fella's too good. Like, we need more of a sow.
Yeah.
Running up and bashing players and shit like that. Like, what's the point in signing these players? Mm. It's very hard to know. And I think, one thing that, like, would say we're looking at, oh, Ferrugia isn't getting a game, Burns, Power, whoever else you're talking about, it kind of disregards the makings of the club over there. Like, I'd say even Grimsby probably has a better setup than Shamrock Rovers, you know, from academy and, you know, ground and everything. So Dara Burns coming over is like, all right, Grant. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh my God, we've got Dara Burns. Like, he's just another player over there.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And we're probably have a bit of a better mindset or a better view on some of the players that have went over. Whereas over there, you know, they have a massive academy. There could be absolutely wonderful young players coming up through the academy that they're familiar with, that they know, have won probably something at under 19 and under 21 level and loads of different stuff. So maybe Dara Burns isn't that big of a deal in Grimsby terms.
Yeah.
It's not something like, would you be concerned about that generally or care?
I suppose when you see all them names together, they've only left the league recently. It is a wee bit concerning. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, I did manage to flick on, some of the Football League highlights. I've seen, what was his name? Junior Caterna?
Yeah.
Score a penalty there. I can't remember who he's with now. But he did score a penalty the other night. Let's have a look there.
And Ryan Graydon's doing all right over there.
Yeah, like, he's played 34 matches this season for Fleetwood.
Mm.
You know, what do you want, like? Don't know. Like, I think it's a bit all over the place, but... I would, yeah, obviously you'd like to see these players play a bit more often, but it's just not the case at the moment. So,
right, last couple of comments. Jer, listening to you boys on commentary, I was wondering if Gary is a bit conflicted with the results, seeing as he spends a fair bit of time down at the bowl as well. It would appear that Kieran is not the only one on the podcast that has another club on the side. And finally, Pat, are you still of the opinion that Long is untouchable at Waterford when currently under him we can't defend or score goals, and after a good start we're now getting sucked into a relegation scrap? Can't really see how it could get any worse if a new manager was to come in.
Do we think he's untouchable?
No, but I think we've been fairly on his side now, to be fair.
I'd be inclined to agree with that. I see what you're saying, but like... Because we like the way what we think so far is that, like, the performance haven't been that bad. They just have been quite unlucky. Very easily they could have bet Bo's 4-0, as I keep referring to that game. but it could have happened. I think there's plenty of opportunity for them to right some of the wrongs, and Friday's no better time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's time for them, but like at the same time, Long is around long enough to know that if you're a manager down that end of the table and you end up losing 6, 7, 8 games on the trot, then
it happens quick.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're kind of leaving yourself open to anything there. So he needs a result sooner rather than later. Even an old draw just to stop the rot wouldn't be a bad result. But look, that's where we're going to leave it for this week. That was Series 9, Episode 10 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's great to have so much listener interaction on the show this season. I think the little tweets we're putting out asking for your opinions and then bringing up on the pod, I think it's bringing a new dynamic to the podcast. So do get in touch with us on our X account. Between the Stripes is what you just need to search for, and you'll find us. Our handle, I think, is at Between Stripes. There's no the in there. So at Between Stripes is our handle. Give us a follow. We're on TikTok as well. Search for Between the Stripes there. And make sure you subscribe to the pod wherever you are listening. But for this week, from Kieran Burr, from Gary Riley, and from our sponsors, Quinn AV, that was Series 9, Episode 10 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Have a very happy Easter. Enjoy the games on Good Friday and on Easter Monday. And we'll be back to react to all of that next week on the pod. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.